We'll start our Bible study. We talked about the roll being called up. You understand?
We have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life so that our names can be called up yonder once we're judged.
Okay? We want to be in heaven, but our names found in the Book of Life. How do we go about doing that? Obedience. Obedience to what? To God and His commandments. And if we obey God and His commandments, that shows that we trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Good song. I'm looking for the L word. All right. First John chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5. What is the theme? Woo, goodness gracious, you went there already, didn't you? That's right. Okay. Remember, we can't escape it. I should have asked the question there. What can we not escape when we study 1 John chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? Gotta love one another, right? Gotta love our brothers and sisters. Who else do we have to love? Well, we know that. Yeah. All right, we got to love God. How do we show we love God? Keeping His commandments. And how do I know that ye are my disciples? How does God know that we're His disciples? How can he look and tell, these are my disciples? By the blank that they have toward blank, blank. Did we forget already? Who said that? For by the love they have for one another. Remember the thing we can't ever escape? Can't escape it. Remember we found out that I can't even say I love God if I'm not keeping His commandments. I can't say I love God if I don't love my brother and my sister. Ooh. You got it. Got to love the brother and the sister. Because again, we're recapping. The brother and the sister obeyed the gospel. And they became a part of the what? Body. And the body is the what? Church. Of who? Christ. His body. You became a member of that body. Okay? So when God looks at you, sees the Son, loving Son. The Father loves the Son. But I can look at my brother and hate my brother? Oh, can't do that. Can't do that. Because somebody's looking at me, and that's His Son. Okay? All right. Because we all connected to His Son, okay? We're all part of the body. I can't. I don't love my sister. You don't love the Son, okay? She's a part of that body. I can't do it. We can't do it. So that's the important thing, is we have to remember. That's what keeps us. When we were talking about Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the full armor of God, we peeked over there to the previous chapter. We looked at Ephesians chapter 5. In the first sentence, it talked about children obeying your parents. The first principles of the law. Guess what? Because if you are a kid that will not obey the parent that you can see and physically see and physically hear, are you going to obey a parent you can't see? A spirit? You're not. So the fundamental principles is that. Now, God is in heaven. God is a spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But you're my brother. You're my sister. You're here in the flesh. And I can't love you. So how am I supposed to love Him? Can't love Him, right? Because what does He command me to do? He commands us to love our brother and sister. Then what does the scripture say? You love me when you keep my commandments. Boom. Bang. Right there. Okay? We keep coming back. It's a circle. We cannot get out of. We cannot get out of. So I cannot say I love God and not keep his commandments. I cannot say I love God and not love my brother or my sister. Why? Because I'm violating his commandments. Because he commanded us to love one another. Period. We cannot escape. Can't get away from it. All right, let's go to our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And again, we're just going to end. We looked at a large chunk of chapter 5. And we were almost finished. Got a little bit more to go. But I think we can do a recap and then finish up. And we should be able to close out. And then we'll be ready to move on to 2 John at that point. Okay, so I look at 1 John. If we were to summarize, and I'll open it up to the floor. If we were to summarize out of all these verses, which one hit home? Which one of these verses out of that whole chapter, chapter 1, which one hit home? So I glanced through it, and I'll start it off. And you can repeat it if it's the same one. Where was it? there's a lot there. Walking in the light. I guess I have to do both of them. So mine would be verses 7 and 8. When it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Again, it's bringing us together. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How then we say, as I always like to break things down like a formula. Okay, I like that last part when it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hey, I want to be cleansed from all sin, right? What does it say before that? If we walk in the what? Light. As he is in the light. So I'm looking at the example of Christ. Doing as he does, right? Doing as he did, living his life as he lived. And have fellowship with what? One another. Comes back to the brothers and the sisters in the faith. So we have to have fellowship with one another, acting like Christ. If we follow Christ and we act like him, then we're going to have fellowship with one another. And in doing that, his blood continues to cleanse us. And it says, if we say in verse 8 that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Whoa. So we know we fall short. There's nobody perfect on the earth. You know, if there was a perfect person, I guess we would have had them on the cross. They would have been the sacrificial lamb. Christ could have stayed where he was, right? So there is no perfect human being. The Bible tells us that. We're imperfect. We're flesh. If we were perfect, there was perfect human beings, then we could just go by the law. Because the law is perfect. But unfortunately, the Bible says if you offend one part of the law, you offend it all. Right, Brother Chevy? Offend it all. So one little violation of the law. That's why Jesus Christ came and gave us grace. Okay? It's impossible for man to follow the law without messing up. Because God's perfect. His law is perfect. We're imperfect. We're carnal. There's a part of us. Yes, we have a perfection. Our spiritual side, right? Boom. Spirit. But we also have something that comes with that. The flesh. And guess what? They battle with each other. The Bible says continually there is a battle between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit that wants to do the right thing and the flesh that wants to please itself. We're humans. We're flesh. We fail all the time. Okay, anybody else? Any scripture in chapter 1? And you can be looking at chapter 2 because we're just going to keep going through. Anybody? Okay, let's move to chapter 2. Anybody see anything in chapter 2 that really hit home out of all the sayings? Everything that we studied in chapter 2. Any verse?
1 and 2.
Yeah, exactly. And then 3 as well. Okay. I'm going to come over there to you. Then I want you to read it, and then I want you to say, was that you? That was you, right? You're not trying to hide on me now. Okay.
My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Okay, you remember that little statement that I made about us being imperfect? So the scripture says in chapter 1, verse 8, that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we do have sin. But the good news is what was just read by our sister Tanya here. It says, my little children, these things write unto you, I write unto you, that ye sin not. Doesn't want us to sin. You know, just because we have grace, does it mean that we should just sin? No. Okay. But it goes on to say that, and if any person sins, if a man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and it says, the righteous. So it's his righteousness. He's the one that steps in and presents us clean to the Father. Okay? And then verse 2, he's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world has an opportunity to get rid of those sins. You know, not just those who are members of the body of Christ. That is a good one. Look at 3 also. The mic is picking up the fan. You hear all that noise, it's the fan. Look at verse 3. And hereby I do know that we know him, if what? We keep his commandments. So remember I said that we know that we can't say that we love God unless we keep his commandments. Let me tell you, let's go farther. We don't even know him. We can't say that we know God unless we keep his commandments. Anybody else? Chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 4. Let me come over here to you, brother.
He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Uh-oh. That goes even further than verse 3. So if I say I know, I'm a Christian, man. I know I'm a Christian, but I'm living in sin. I'm not keeping his commandments. That makes me a liar. What's the lie? I'm a Christian. I know him. I have a relationship with God. I have a personal relationship with God. That's what they say today, right? I got a personal relationship. Apparently not. Because his very word says that he that saith, and that's the person saying, I have a personal relationship with God. I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You're a liar and the truth ain't in you. So that's a powerful one. Very good. Very strong. Any other verse? Again, we're recapping and finalizing because we're going to get to chapter 5 and we're going to end our study of 1 John. Okay, let's move over to chapter 3. I'm sure there's some good jewels in chapter 3. Recapping. Okay, you found one? Chapter 3? 16, you said? Who said that? Okay.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish.
Where are you reading from? Oh, you're in John. Okay. That's all right. That's all right. That's good. That's weird how he's in the wrong verse here, but it ties right in. Go ahead and finish reading. It ties right in.
No, wait a minute. And he says, should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay, so if whoever, if you know him, okay, then again, our theme is if you know him, you'll keep his commandments, right? So if you keep his commandments, you're going to obey the gospel. If you obey the gospel, then you're going to be saved. Then you got to continue the race to the end to get that crown of victory in heaven. That's awaiting us. That's another subject called apostasy. Does it exist? Can a Christian lose their salvation? Some people say no, once saved, always saved. All right, here we go.
Chapter 3, verse 18. Okay. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth.
All right. Let us not love with just our words, our tongue, but with what? Actions. Don't say you love me with your mouth. Say you love me with your actions. That's what I try to do at work. I don't sit there and preach to anybody. They think, oh, he's a preacher, and they just think I'm going to preach all at them, and it's like, oh, they're waiting for it. Say nothing. I don't say nothing verbally. I'm there to work, but I say with my actions. And then they come to me, okay, wanting prayers, and they respect you a lot more when they don't think that you're a hypocrite trying to make yourself holy by your own words. So I speak by my actions. God says you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Just bear good fruit. Do what he has you to do. Show your light, right? Let your light shine. They'll see you. That's it. You don't have to sit there and be preachy. Some people try to say how holy and righteous they are with their words, but their actions betray them. They're some of the most evil, wickedest people I've seen that claim to be holy and righteous. So I've seen it. Yes? All right, there you go, name calling. Anybody else at chapter 3?
Yeah. Verse 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Okay.
Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him abides not. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him.
So there you go. People say, when I become a Christian, I don't sin anymore. Okay? Well, we know we fall short. But again, how do we get to that point where we're not living in sin? If we are doing what? Obeying his commandments, period. Then we're not walking in sin. Okay?
Verse 3 and 6.
Okay.
Verse 3. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And then verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Now you remember that controversy we talked about, how there are certain people that says once you are holified and sanctified, and there's all kinds of terms they use, that you've been that you've got the Holy Spirit, that you're incapable of sinning, and they'll tell you right then, I don't sin. And that's their belief, that they don't sin anymore. Now, let's look at verse 9 and break it down. Whosoever is born of God. Okay, how are we born of God? What's the process? You can simplify by obeying. Huh? There you go. What do we call that? What do we call that? The big G word. The gospel. Obeying the gospel, right? Okay, so you're hearing the word. Hearing comes by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Excuse me, I got it backwards. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you heard the word of God, you're pricked in your heart, you repent of your sins, confess Jesus being the Son of the living God, right? He's the Messiah. You're buried in the watery grave of baptism, where you come in contact with the blood that cleanses you. You come up a new creature in Christ with a new name, better than that of sons and daughters. That name is Christian, and you have the gift of the what? Holy Spirit that indwells in you. So,
verse 3.
And then verse 3, and every man that hath the hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. How do I get that hope? Okay, I got to have that. I've got to. Faith is an action verb, right? So that means I did something. Again, we go right back to the obedience to the gospel. Now that I am a Christian, that I am in Christ, I have hope, right? It's the only time you have hope. Outside of Christ, there is no hope. And so when I have hope, every man that hath the hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, if I have hope, I know I'm going to heaven. I know that God's word is true. If I mess up, what we going to do? When we mess up, church, what we going to do? Okay, we're going to confess. We're going to pray. Get on our knees. We're going to confess our sins. Okay, confess our faults and get back on the right track again. Then in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to commit sin anymore. For the seed remaineth in him. What's that seed? All right, how does he get in me? What did he leave in us? That's right. Let that spirit in us, that gift of promise, right? God in us, okay? He cannot sin because he's born of God. There you go. I'm getting rid of it. I mess up, I repent. Now, remember, so you can understand this process. Let's go back to the Mosaic Law, all right? So they're under the Mosaic Law. The people of Israel, the Israelites, they sinned, but they offered a sacrifice. Did God forget about their sins and remove their sins, or did he roll their sins forward to the next time that it was time? That's all he did. He rolled their sins forward, then they had to sacrifice another blood sacrifice. Then they sinned and he rolled it forward. We didn't get forgiveness of sin until Christ came. And so that's the wonderful thing. We don't have to live in sin. But a person outside of Christ and they sin, guess what? That's what it's talking about.
That's what you hear about one to obey the law. Well, there is no forgiveness of sin.
There is no forgiveness of sin. You hear that? If you want to go back to the law, and there's a movement going on right now today, they want to go back to the law. All right? And they say, this Christianity is that's man-made stuff. We need to go back to the law. Good luck. You're on your own because I'm not going with you. Because I already know the law is perfect, right? Man is imperfect. And if you violate even one part of the law, you have violated the whole of the law.
Since they're not Israelites, they cannot obey.
Got to have the Israelites. Got to have the Levitical priesthood, right? Got to have all those things set up. Sacrificing the whole bit. It doesn't exist. AD 70 wiped that out, didn't it? When Jerusalem was wiped out. All right, let's go to chapter 4. Somebody's got a good... All right, here we go already. See there? Chapter 4. What are some of the things that stood out?
Chapter 4, verse 7. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. But the scripture says,
okay,
your brothers and sisters, as I have loved you.
Okay. There's the L word, the love of God. Now let's dissect that. Beloved, let us love one another. Again, we keep coming back to that theme, right? Can't get away from it. I keep saying that. We have to love one another. For love is of God. Okay, love came from God. And one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, you know I like to break things down like a formula, okay? So what is the formula really telling us in verse 7? How do I know God? How do I know God? What's the formula?
To walk in the ways of Christ Jesus.
Give me that love. We'll go back to that.
To love my son as I have loved you.
Love. Okay? Love one another. Keep it in verse 7. Because that's where the formula is. Now, the next one is born of God. I'm saying that I'm born of God. I'm born again. But again, how does the formula say that I'm born of God?
Loving.
Loving who?
One another.
One another. See the formula? Can't get away from it. So that's the formula in chapter 7. How do I know God? Well, people can know that I love God because I'm loving my brother and my sister. How do I know God? People are going to know that I know God, right? Because I'm loving my brother and sister. So I know him, and I'm repeating myself. So I'm born of God because I'm loving my brother and sister. What does that mean, formula-wise? You can't know him if you don't love your brother and sister. You can't don't keep his commandments. Love one another. You're not born of him if you're not loving your brother and sister. It's powerful. Can't get away from it. Cannot get away from it. Because, I mean, if you think about it, think about the Godhead. What is the Godhead? We say there's what? How many gods? One God. But the God is made out of three parts, right? Just like we are. Mind, body, and soul. We'll hear that term. You got your mind, your body, your soul. Okay? Then you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they are one. Okay? So then again, if we're part of the body, you can't love God because we're part of him. Each one of us is part of him. We're his children. Aren't your children, when you have children, part of you, right? Yeah, got to be unified. It's a unity. It's all about a unity. Coming together. The Father loving the Son loving the Father, that he obeyed his commandments even unto death and gave his life for the what? Church. Us, okay? So it all comes back down. It's a circle. All right, now we're going to get into chat. Go ahead. Yes, brother.
Verse 6. Very powerful.
All right.
We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
How can we determine the spirit of truth and versus the spirit of error? We have to know him. And if we know him, guess what? We've already done that. We've heard the word. We've obeyed. We're Christians, basically. You're already a Christian. You're walking the path. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that was verse 7, I'm sorry, brother.
6,
I'm sorry. And we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Okay, so that's the thing. You talk to people about the gospel, they will not hear you. There are certain people that will not hear you. They're going to reject you. What did Jesus Christ tell the disciples to do when they went into a town and that town rejected them and would not accept the truth? What'd they do? That's it. Dust the feet off and keep on going. Why? Because that person has ears, but they cannot
hear.
Have eyes, but they cannot. Okay? It's a spiritual blindness. And that's why we have spiritual truth. Like I said, most of you may think that your level of spiritual knowledge is just basic. And you don't think of yourself as really knowing a lot about the Bible. But if I tell you there's one God, you believe that. You know it's one God. You know that Christ came. Don't you know there's people that have PhD behind their name and live all their lives and never can understand that basic concept?
Especially when you tell them Christ is God.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Say it again.
Especially when you tell them that Jesus Christ is God.
Watch this, Brother Chevy. All right, class. John 1 and 1. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There you go. Word was God. Thank you. That's the way to emphasize. He was God. He was in the beginning. So when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, guess who's there? Jesus was there. Yes, God in the Elohim was there. Elohim is plural. That's the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit were all there in the beginning. So Jesus didn't come as a little baby. That was his first appearance. He was there at the beginning when the worlds were created, right? So he was already there. Now, chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now, there's a lot there. Oh, I like this one. There's a lot there, but I'm just going to, while you guys are looking, I'm going to look at this one. Okay, verse 11. And this is the record. And that record is testimony. So this is a testimony. God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Right? So by the Son. By the Messiah. Right? So no man can come through, and we talked about that, how today there are groups of people that believe that the Messiah has not come yet. They're still waiting on the Messiah. So they reject Jesus as the Messiah. They reject the Christ. Okay? They reject him. They said, no, that wasn't him. We're still waiting on him to come. Does anybody remember what that's the spirit of? The spirit of Antichrist. That's right. Exactly right. All right, anybody else in chapter 5? All right, coming over here to the sister Tanya. What verse are we, Tanya?
Okay, say it again.
2-5.
All right.
This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Okay, that was a lot. Oops. There was a lot there. So we'll go ahead and look at that. Look at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So how do I love my brother and sister? How do I know I'm loving my brother and sister? By keeping his commandments. And what does his commandment tell me to do with my brother and sister? Love one another, period, right? So there's no escape there. Comes right back in a circle. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. There you go. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what God says. And this and his commandments are not what? They're not burdensome. They're not grievous. Okay? So in other words, your life is going to be better when you keep his commandments, not worse. He makes our life better. That's called making right decisions. You make the wrong decisions, your life gets hard. You make the right decisions, your life gets easy, period. And God is always going to give us the right way, the right path. Verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How do we overcome the world? By becoming children of God. That's how we overcome. We overcome death. We overcome the world. This world is a different place when you're a Christian. You see it differently. It's not as spirit. People who are outside of Christ live in a physical realm. It's a physical realm of reality. And let me tell you, I don't want to be under a physical realm of reality, because there are some wicked spiritual principalities out there. And if you're not covered by the blood and you're not in Christ Jesus, those things can get to you, okay? Those are demonic possessions and all these other things. I don't want no part of that, being just in a physical realm. I like living in the spiritual realm. It gives me hope of eternal life. It takes away what? Fear. See, when I'm a Christian, I don't fear anymore. When I was in the world, I did fear. I feared all the time. I saw the red-eyed demons coming to get me at night. I went to bed sinful, woke up sinful, right? And could barely sleep and all these things. I don't want to live like that anymore. That was in the world. I was a worldly person.
Because when we're living in the carnal mind, we're letting sin overtake our thoughts and our actions.
Right.
But when we walk in the ways of Christ Jesus, we have the spiritual anointing.
Y'all hear that? When you're walking in the carnal mind, your body's like a vessel. It's like an empty cup. And all the demonic stuff, the evil stuff, can pour right on in and just fill it up. But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? There's no room for all these demonic entities to come in. The house is full. It's not empty, so those demons don't have anywhere to come in, okay? So fill it up with the good stuff, right? Meditate on that which is good. Concentrate on that which is good. Eat which is good, right? Spiritual food is good.
And I think verse 13 deserves a little explanation.
Go ahead.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, it's a simple explanation. We don't believe in the name Jesus, but according to his authority. And so when we believe in Jesus, we believe on those things that he authorizes, like his commandments. And so it keeps us from going back to the law and from obeying different doctrines that have nothing to do with the name of Jesus Christ.
And this this authority that Jesus Christ has, where did it come from?
It came from God, of course.
And the words that Jesus Christ speaks, where do the words come from?
From God.
That's right. He is God. John 1 and 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, right? Now, we're going to keep going since this is how we conclude right here, because we're going to go to 14 now. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Did you hear that? If I ask for anything, what's the next statement? According to his will. Please don't get upset with God when you pray and you don't get what you ask for. Please don't. Because ask yourself, are you following the formula? Or what does this say? That you'll get what you want if you ask according to his will. God, help me to win the lottery. If I win the lottery, I'll give the church, you know, if I win $1 million, I'll give the church $100. Right? I may even give them $200 if I win $1 million. Help me win that lottery, Jerry. Is that according to his will that you gamble? That's the ill-gotten game. Uh-oh. Man, I tell you, I thought we was going to be able to finish it. We didn't. We got. So I think, do I have, how much time? No time? We're done? Oh, that about six, seven? Okay. I'm going to try to go through this and conclude so we can move on to the second John. If any man sees his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and that's what people think. Is there a special sin that you commit? Is it unforgivable sin? Is that what he's talking about? But he's going to explain it. I do not say that he shall pray for it. You can't pray for this sin. But what is this sin? All unrighteousness is sin. Okay, so that would be a brother living unrighteously. Okay, if he's unrighteous, if he's living unrighteously, he's not doing what? He's not obeying the commandments of God. And if he's not obeying the commandments of God, he really doesn't love God, and he doesn't know God. And he doesn't love his brothers and sisters either, exactly. So it says in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is no sin. There is a sin not unto death. So there is sin that we can commit, and it's not unto death. Keller would always say that God looks at that as a misdemeanor sin, right? Something that you can get on your knees and say, I'm sorry, God, I messed up. Okay? I was praising you 1 minute and then cursing the guy that tailgated me the next. Guilty. Okay, guilty. That's charged. But I had to ask God for forgiveness. Is that going to send me straight to hell? Am I going to lose my salvation? Because I sinned? No. Okay? But living in sin, okay, unrighteousness, living in sin 24/7, okay, that's a different situation there. That's the one that kills you. You remember I said the Bible says, he who dies in his sin, sins where I am, he cannot come. Can't die in your sins, okay? Can't die living sinful. 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We talked about that. Are we perfect? Did we say, oh, we never sin again? No. He who says he doesn't sin is a liar and the truth is not in it, right? So we know that. That's not what it's talking about. It means that you have the avenue, the ability to be able to what? Ask for forgiveness of sin. Why? Because you have the blood of Jesus Christ that keeps you clean.
Because we according to his will, we strive not to sin.
Exactly. The whole thing is to try to, you know, I end the prayer by saying, help us to be more like Christ every single day. Amen. Now listen to that. Help us to strive to be more like Christ. We're trying to be like Christ. Christ was perfect, but we're imperfect, but we're trying to be that way. So we're always setting the goal, right, to be perfect. And then it says in verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. If you know God, then you know the opposite of God. So God is love. God is goodness. What's the opposite? It's darkness. It's sin. And you're going to see it. You're going to be very aware of what's evil and what's right and what's wrong when you're of God and you follow his commandments. It makes it very easy to know that straight, narrow path. His commandments keeps us on the straight, narrow path. If we walk in his light, okay, that's his light. He set the light. It's like that follow the yellow brick road, right? And it's illuminated. It's yellow brick road, and we just follow it. That's what it's all about, not deviating from that. Okay, and then so it says in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. There we go. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true. This is the true God, an eternal life. Wow, true God, eternal life, Jesus Christ. And we can know him by getting into what the Son.
It says in 20, has given us his understanding. Yeah. That's his wisdom, his truth.
What did he give the apostles so that they might be able to teach the word? The Holy Spirit. And what do we have the gift of? The Holy Spirit. So then in verse 21, and we'll conclude, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourself from worshiping things other than God. Keep yourself from worshiping the flesh, for worshiping money, for worshiping power, all those things that you spend your time. People can make video games their idols, right? Money their idols. Food their idol. And let me tell you, I idolized food for a while, and look at me. Blew up to almost 500 pounds. Food was my idol. I woke up every day thinking about it. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? Should have been eating spiritual food.
If we realize that all those things we idol are inanimate objects.
Inanimate objects, they are of the flesh, and the flesh and everything carnal will be eliminated. Good class as always. I look forward to going into 2 John next week. So that if you have any questions about 1 John, save them till next week. We'll get to them. We're out of time. I want to thank each and every one of you. Had a good class as always. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the studying of his word.